We're on the second learning discuss Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chela Besuch or Chule Yisrael. So in Yonim to do with Parshas Chodesh coming up to Nissan. So as we're getting ready for Pesach, we sometimes forget that we're still in Adar, and Adar is a very interesting month because Adar is a time for the tshuva. So we always think tshuva is only Elul. So Elul is tshuva meyiro, and Adar is tshuva meyavo. And this makes sense because before Rosh Hashanah it's yiro, and Purim time is avo. But more than that, when they got the Torah the first time, it's kopalem harkagigis. That's a type of yiro. Now the time of Mordechai and Esther, kima v'kiblu, they see the Torah again ba'avo. So it makes sense it's ba'avo. And there's a nice remez it brings to the Nitta Gavriel. It says from Rav Sholem Kamninka, if he wouldn't have tarried, we can return these two times. So Lule, Lamed Vov, Lamed Aleph, letters of Elul. So therefore we didn't do, if we tarried in Elul, we didn't do the tshuva we should have done. Kiato Shavne Zeh Famoyim. So Zeh can two things. Zeh is Gematria 12, which is the 12th month Adar. We can do tshuva now. Or Zeh, the 12th month, Pa'amoyim, can have Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. You've got two opportunities to do tshuva Me'av. So the Me'av. Okay, that starts off with that. Point number one. And we always have Bahab after Sukkot and after Pesach. So you'd think Purim would be an obvious candidate. It's a similar thing, you drink a lot, etc., etc. Why do we have Bahab after Purim? Any suggestions? Or should we then have it after Shavuos either? No, but it says very nice. It says, why do we have Bahab after Purim?
Why don't we?
Because it's a happy month.
Well, so is Pesach and so is Sukkot. So it says that there are three times we don't have Bahab. That's Shavuos, Purim, and Shabbos. Why? Shavuos is when the Torah was given. Purim again is if the Torah was given again. And Shabbos, Torah was given on Shabbos. So since Torah will protect us from any overindulgences, therefore we don't have Bahab then. Sorry? Don't need, apparently. Don't need. No, it's inbuilt in the system, but you don't need. Is the speaker not here yet? Yankee will start off on something, not sure I'll finish off, not finish the day, later tomorrow. So Yankee was saying about the Hafsokas. So there's never Hafsoka between Purim and Chodesh. And if you're going to have a Hafsoka, you normally have between Sholem and Zocha, or between Zocha and Purim. And there is a remez for this. In other words, the four cups, very good. So you're allowed to drink between the first and second, and between the second and third, but not between the third and the fourth. So as David said, that's the remez. So between the third and the fourth, you don't make a hafsoka. So we have the four cups. We also have the four lashonas. All the four lashonas. Vevesi, vitalti, begalti, velokachti. The Vilna Gaon has a different. It says, vevesi, eschem, mitachas elishas raim. Begalti, eschem, meavdus lecheres. Begalti, eschem, bizra, natoi, bishvotim, gedolim. He said, on those three words. There are two aspects of the Goalti. And that's why you can't drink between the third and the fourth. The first one is self-contained. The second one is self-contained. The third and fourth are two aspects of the Goalti. So you can't make a break in the Goalti. And that is all I prepared for today. So, the speaker today is... Oh yes, Rabbi. Yes, here he is. Perfect timing. Start today, the Torahway, Northwest London. Tuesday, Kof Hei Ador, 25th of March. Rabbi David Lichtig Schlita, Pesach Inyan. This week's Torah is sponsored Family Park, Bar and Mokta. We call it some son of Eliana Barshtik and Alex Mokta, Mary Lloyd. Has to take place on Thursday, Mitzvah. You're not in Shul Barak, the Mom, which for Hashem, the Shalom, the Sus, Ashavuim, and Achayolim, and Milchamot, Shachsu, the Shalom, the Mirah.
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I see a polite reminder to finish by 9 a.m. I've got a request to finish early, so I'll make sure to do that. Okay, we are currently in the lead-up to Pesach, as we know, well within the Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. So we're going to be speaking about Pesach. And so when we come to Pesach, there's two big subjects. We have Matzah and we have Chometz. So I think we're early enough in the 30-day period before Yom Tov to be still speaking about the Chometz. As we get closer, we'll see if we can address the Matzah. So let's talk a little bit about the about Chometz as we get closer to Pesach. So let's just start at the beginning. Pasuk in Shemois, Yud Beis. Pasuk says, "Ki kol ha'ichel chometz v'nichrusa nefesh ahi miYisrael." Someone who eats chometz on Pesach, then he v'nichrusa, he's chayav koris. Very clear that the punishment for someone who eats chometz on the 7 days of Pesach is v'nichrusa. Generally, when it comes to the mitzvahs or the lavim and naseim, you know, there's a couple which address various mitzvahs and various lavim. When it comes to chometz, it's probably the most expansive situation when it comes to telling us what we should and what we shouldn't do. So, as you mentioned, the pasuk starts off with the chiyuv koris for someone who eats chometz. A couple of psukim later, the pasuk says shivas yomim sa'ur lo yimatzi b'votechem, which now increases the punishment. We now have a lav on top of the asay with the chayav kares, and that is this the issue of lo yimatzi. Someone forget eating, chametz can't even be found in someone's house. Now, if that wasn't enough, a couple pages later, then the pasuk says matzis yochas shivas yomim v'lo yiro lachos chametz v'lo yiro lachos er b'chol gvulecha. In addition to the chayav kares for eating matzah, you got the lav of Bali Motze, and we've got another lav of Bali Roy. So we've got two lavim and one assay. But there's another interesting piece to the chometz picture which I want to discuss today. And that is, in addition to the chiyuv koris and the two lavim, there's another point, and that is Shivas Yom Matzis Tichelu, Pasuk in Yud Beis, Shmoit, Achbayim Harishon, Tashbisus Omim Boteichem. There's another assay, and that is the assay of Tashbisu. Every member of Klal Yisrael has obligation to not only make sure that Sa'or and Chometz is lo yimotze and lo yiroeh, and if they eat matzah, they get an assay. There's a chiyuv, is an assay of tashbisu. You have to actively be shoivus the Chometz. There's an assay of tashbisus on rebotechem. And as we know, as we get closer to Pesach, the women take this very seriously. And there is the most common way of getting rid of chometz in your house is to do, as we know, a bedika nabira. You look for the chometz. Once you find the chometz, you destroy it. And with that, you're makayim this assay of tashbisu. But there's, as we know also, there's another way of getting rid of chometz, and that is bittel. So when someone's mevatel the chometz, what they're essentially doing is making the chometz not in existence anymore, so they're no longer over in the lavim and assayim. The way we do it is we say kol chamira, we say loud the words, and we're actively with our words, we mevatel the chometz in our possession. The machlokes whether it's belave or whether you have to do it in words, but ultimately we have this method of tashbisu, of getting rid of chometz, which is bittel. So for the most part, most people do both. We do bedika on the 14th, followed by a bittel, so we do it in the night and in the day as well. So why are we doing bedika and why are we doing bittel as well, and what's the difference between them? So it's a mafurish gemara in Pesachim Vav Amud Beis. The gemara actually says very clearly, Om Rav Yehuda, Om Rav Haboydek, someone who checks for chametz, which is the first method, checking and destroying the chametz, tzorech sheivatel. In addition to the bedika, you got to do bittel as well. So the gemara says, why is that? Which is a fairly famous concept that if you don't check and destroy chometz, if you just mevatel it, and you then over Pesach you find a gluska yofa, a nice piece of chometz in your house. So the way Rashi understands this, it's Chashuvah hi be'enov. This piece of chometz is chashuv. It's a nice piece of chometz. Maybe a bottle of whiskey or something that's considered chashuv. That and in that moment, you're chas on it. You think, you know, maybe I'm not going to destroy it. Maybe I'm not going to burn it. So Rashi says, by you waiting, even those few moments, as your mind is racing, you see this bottle of chometz. Oh, should I destroy it? Am I going to destroy it? In those few moments, in that time, when you're deciding or you're trying to figure out what to do with this beautiful piece of chometz that you found, you're going to be over bali or bali motze. But if you do bittel, ain't over, you're not going to be over, because when you see this chometz, it's as if it's not there. So you get around this shema yenta gluska yofer by being mevatel chometz as well. So the question then is, if that's the case, why don't we just do bittel? Why do you have to worry about bedika as well? So it's a machlekas rishonim. So Tosfos says that if you just do bittel, then chometz has a very unique issa in that for the vast majority of the year, it's not a problem to eat chometz. But once you hit the 14th day of Nisan, suddenly it becomes too lavim, as you mentioned. It's an assay. So if you're standing there on the first day of Pesach, and you say, you know, yesterday this piece of bread was not a problem, suddenly now, it's the way the Gemara explains it, it's lo bedili inishmine. If you see a pork sandwich, you would never eat that, and if you see it, chances are you're not going to make a mistake and just eat it today because you weren't eating it yesterday. Chometz has a unique situation that for the most part it's mutter. So therefore, if you just mevatel it and the chometz is there, because you're used to eating chometz, it's much easier. So therefore, we do bedika as well. That's what Tosfos says. The Ran says something slightly different, and it goes back to what we were saying before about an expensive bottle of whiskey, for example. In order for bittel to work, and we say this in Kol Chamira, we say we're mevatelin, it's like afrodara. It's like the dust of the earth. To me, this piece of chometz is like dust. If for whatever reason the person doesn't actually mean that, or is not 100% saying that with full conviction, because we're talking about a £150 bottle of whiskey, for example, then could be the bittel won't work. So there's complications with bittel. So with that in mind, we do bedika and we do bittel. I think we're just going to mention very briefly that there is another way of doing tashbisu, of being mekayem this mitzvah, as I say, of tashbisu, and that is we're selling our chametz. In which case, it removes it from your possession. We're not going to focus on that today, but for the most part, a typical member of the community would do all these three things. He would do bedika and beer. He would do bittel, and he would do most likely sell as well. Now that we've established the groundwork for this set of multiple isurim, what is one supposed to do when one's engaging in the bedika process and one finds chometz? So obviously you're supposed to do beer. What does that entail? So it's a Gemara, it's Machlokas, which is going to be quite relevant as we move through this morning's topic. So first mission in Kol Shah. Then Gemara says, Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein bi chometz elo sreifa. The only way to get rid of chometz is by burning the chometz. The chomer disagree, and the chomer say, af mefi v'zer l'urach oimati layom. You don't have to actually burn it. Rabbi Yehuda says very specifically, the way to get rid of chometz is to burn it. Whereas the chomer disagree, and they say, you've got to get rid of the chometz. You can even crumble it up, throw it into the wind, throw it into the sea, right? You've got to get rid of the chometz. There's no specific method of destroying the chometz. You get rid of it in whichever way you can. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda very clearly disagrees. He says, "Ein biel chometz ela b'sreifa." The only way to get rid of chometz is with burning it. Interestingly, when the Mechaber brings down this halacha, the Mechaber stays within the when we have machlokas with Chum and Rabbi Yehuda, traditionally we do passing like the Chumim, and the Mechaber does do that. The Mechaber says in Tof Mem, hey, Keita Bia Chometz, sorry for you, can burn it. Oi, Pirei V'Zorei L'Rach, Oi Zorei Kaleyam. The Mechaber gives you all the options of the Mishnah, clearly passing like the Chachamim, who say that there's no specific way or method to destroy the chametz. You do it whichever way you'd like. He gives the option of burning. You know, if you've got a problem and your chametz is very tough or it's not dissolving well, then you should chop it up until it's fine, and then you should throw it into the sea. That's the mechaber. Excuse me. The Ramah adds, Uminug l'sorfoy. It doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, but he says, what we do, the Ramah says, the minug is to burn the chametz, v'toiv l'sorfoy b'yoyim, and you should burn it in a day. And he adds, if you're concerned that the chametz might get lost, or a rodent might, shleger chulda, a rodent might drag it out and put it back into the house, you can burn it at night as well. But it's very clear that what's going on over here is that the mechaber is passing like the chachamim. There's multiple ways how to get rid of your chametz, and the Ramah, who we paskin like, picks out Sarefa, like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, and says the ideal way is to burn the chometz. Now, here's our first question of the day. What happens if someone doesn't actually have any chometz at home? We've established that there's two lavim. In addition to that, there's a mitzvah saseh of tashbisu to armi botechem. There's a mitzvah to destroy chometz. How about if you don't have chometz? Do you have to go out and get yourself some chometz in order to mekayem the mitzvah of tashbisu? Or is this mitzvah of tashbisu, if you go through the 7 days and you don't have chometz in your house, then memela, you mekayem this mitzvah of destroying the chometz? There was never any chometz to destroy, but I went through the Pesach period and I didn't have any chometz. There was no chometz in my possession, so therefore you mekayem this mitzvah tashbisu memela. Or, as you mentioned, are you obligated to actually physically take your chometz and destroy it in order to be mekayem this mitzvah? So the Minchas Chinuch goes through this in mitzvah test, and he his question is, what exactly is this mitzvah of tashbisu? So he brings two examples, which makes it very, very smooth for us to understand. His first example is the mitzvah of resting on Shabbos. Right, there's an obligation to rest on Shabbos. In addition, we have a lav of leis v'areish. You can't do any melacha on Shabbos. If you don't do any melacha on Shabbos and you come out on Matzah Shabbos, you automatically mekayem the mitzvah of resting on Shabbos, because you haven't done any melacha. There's nothing active for you to do, not to be mekayem the mitzvah of resting on Shabbos. As long as you don't do any work, you automatically mekayem the mitzvah. So you really mekayem this assay of resting on Shabbos with a sheval tas, without actually doing anything. And that's actually how you mekayem the mitzvah of resting on Shabbos. The other option that the Minchas Chinuch speaks about is the mitzvah of tzitzis. There's an obligation to put tzitzis on a four-cornered garment. And there's a lav. If you wear a four-cornered garment which doesn't have tzitzis on it, you're over a lav. And there's a mitzvah of putting tzitzis on this four-cornered garment. If you don't have a four-cornered garment and you don't put tzitzis on it, you're not mevatel in asei. You're not mekayim the asei either, right? You're not mevatel in asei. But you're not mekayim it. The way to be mekayim it is by purchasing yourself a four-cornered garment that doesn't have tzitzis on it, and then putting the tzitzis on it. So you've got two options over here. You've got the action of putting on tzitzis, and you've got the action of resting on Shabbos. And you mekayem them in different ways. Either by actively doing something, or, like Shabbos, when you rest over the 25-hour period of Shabbos, you mekayem your mitzvah of resting on Shabbos because you haven't done any melacha. So how, says the Minchas Chinuch, do we view this mitzvah of tashbisu, of destroying the chometz? Is it something you have to actually do? Or is it something that you mekayem memela with a sheval tazeh? So obviously the first nafkamina is how we opened up the question. Is one obligated to purchase or get hold of chometz and destroy them if he doesn't have any chometz in his house? If it's a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, it's a kiyum of an asay, in which case you'd be obligated to go out and buy chometz. If you're mekayem mitzvah tashbisu with a sheval tazeh, then you don't have to go out and buy. As long as you go through the whole Pesach period without having chometz in your house, you'll mekayem the mitzvah tashbisu memela.
Why can't the contract say, if he has chometz, he wants to sell it?
Sorry?
The contract shall say, if he has chometz, he wants to sell it. He's selling it. In other words, this guy says he hasn't. It comes to the rabbi, I have no chometz. The rabbi makes him a contract. If he has chometz, it's sold to the goy.
Well, first of all, if someone doesn't sell his chometz, then we've got the issue. If someone has a contract that in place, then that could be one way of getting around that. But even without that, even if you have the contract that if you have the chometz, it'll be sold. Yeah. You're not actually destroying the chometz for that. You're circumventing the issue by saying, "Oh, the chometz is not mine."
Well, because you have this problem that you think you have no chometz, so you can't say what it's worth, how much it is, where it is. You can't say anything. You say you have no chometz, so this is just an insurance policy.
Correct. So you could look at selling chometz as an insurance policy. You could do that, but
I'm sure we all do.
Like I mentioned in the beginning, most people, and myself as an example, I do bedika, I do beer, I do bittel, and I sell my chometz. So most people try and cover as many bases as they can, and that's not all necessary. Because if someone does beer and bedika properly, and the mevatel chometz, there isn't really a need to sell it. Right? Unless someone's going away, in which case he's not doing a proper beer and a bedika. But yes, you know, an average person who does these three methods, absolutely, like you're saying, there's no need to do all of them, and he's covering his bases. Some of them are insurance policies, as you mentioned. But let's just get back to our question.
Well, he's doing it because the Sufi perhaps has got something he doesn't know about.
Right, okay, that's similar to an insurance policy, yeah. Right? Meaning that there's no obligation to do all these things. Your obligation is to do tashbisu. Right, the question is what that means, and how can I do that? And technically, by doing either one of these things, you're mekayem tashbisu. The question is, back to our question, if one doesn't have chometz, what is one obligated to do? Okay, so there's a couple of other nafkaminas, which I'm going to just go through very briefly, and that is, which would hinge on this question of is this mitzvah of tashbisu a kumvase or sheval tase? And that is, do you need to have kavana for the mitzvah of tashbisu? So kavana is only with a mitzvah taseh, with a kumvatim. When you're actively doing a mitzvah, and you're doing an action, to be mekayem that mitzvah, you need to have kavana. But if someone's not doing something, a sheval taseh, it's not really possible to have kavana. So nafkamina, whether this mitzvah tashbisu is a sheval taseh or kumvatim, could be in whether you have to have kavana. Just going to go through another couple of quick nafkaminas. Another one could be if there's a halacha that if someone grabs a mitzvah away from someone, then he has to pay him a sora zuhuvim. That's talocha. Someone grabs a shofar away from someone and prevents him from being mechanic, takes his lulav away. Then you owe him a sora zuhuvim. It's a set amount that you are, they have to pay the person whose mitzvah you took away. So the question is, if someone had this piece of chometz and he's about to throw in his fire and someone grabbed it away from him, is he mechuyav to pay him that a sora zuhuvim? So if we look at it as, it's a sheval taseh. As long as you go through your Pesach without having any chometz, you're mekayem mitzvah tashbisu. You haven't taken anything away from him because you're still mekayem the mitzvah. It's almost impossible to steal. You can't steal that mitzvah away from someone. As long as you go through Pesach without having chometz, you're mekayem the mitzvah. You can't take that away from someone. However, if we're viewing it as a kumvaseh, you have to actually get up, get hold of your chometz and destroy it. In that case, if someone would take his chometz away from him and throw it into the fire, you would owe him these asaras of him. The last nafkamina that I'm just going to mention quickly is when we talk about mitzvah taseh shehazman garama, which women are not obligated in, that's also only with a kumvaseh, not with a shebal taseh. So it could be that if the mitzvah tashbisu is a kumvaseh, a shebal taseh, then it wouldn't be a mitzvah taseh shehazman garama, and therefore women wouldn't be obligated. But let's get back to our sugya for now. So we've established what tashbisu is, and how potentially you can be mekayem the mitzvah. Now, question. If someone ate chometz on Pesach, are they then mekayem the mitzvah of tashbisu? We brought the Gemara, in which the Chachamim said that destroying the chometz is in any way that you can. You can crumble it up, throw it in the sea, you can burn it. There's multiple options. So in that case, if someone ate the chometz and destroyed it via eating, it's clearly destroyed, are you mekayem the mitzvah of tashbisu? I wouldn't recommend doing this because you're over some lavim as well.
Well, that's an aveira.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, but he's over tashbisu because he's got it.
Sorry? What was it? Absolutely, mitzvah baba aveira. We're going to get to that in just 1 second. Shkoyach, but let's just...
He's over the tashbisu because he's got it.
Correct. He, up until that point, he might be over the mitzvah tashbisu, but then once he eats it, Is it a mekayem the mitzvah?
It depends if it was his chometz. If he had his chometz, then it means he's annulled his contract. If he had somebody else's chometz, his chometz, his chometz is still good.
I'm not sure it's relevant whose chometz it is necessarily.
It should be, because if it's not his chometz...
The Gemara says that chometz is like it's not in your reshut on Pesach. Chometz is one of the few things that... We're just tight on time, and we still haven't got to the crux of the question I want to share today. So absolutely, the question of whether you're making the mitzvah of eating would be dependent, as we've just heard from the back there, if it's a mitzvah bar bavera. So obviously, if it's a mitzvah bar bavera, then you're not making the mitzvah. The question is it a mitzvah bar bavera? What qualifies a mitzvah bar bavera is when you're using the actual item of the mitzvah, and the avera takes place on that. So an easy to understand example would be. Someone would steal a lulav versus someone who's stealing a shofar. The actual item of the mitzvah is a lulav, but you have to take the lulav, right? So if someone steals a lulav, then it's a mitzvah bar bavera, and you're not yotzer. If someone steals a shofar, there's no mitzvah of taking a shofar. In fact, there's no mitzvah in the shofar itself. The shofar is not a mitzvah. You have to hear the sound of the shofar. So if someone would steal a shofar and blow it, they would still be mekayem the mitzvah, even though it's a mitzvah bar bavera, but it's not, because the mitzvah bar bavera is only chal on the actual item of the mitzvah, i.e. a lulav, something which is not actually the chefza of the mitzvah, then it's not mitzvah bar averus. So back to our question over here, it would depend whether tashbisu is a kum va'asei, like we mentioned before. If it's actually a mitzvah to burn the chometz, then that's the chefza of the mitzvah, in which case...
You burn your own chometz, you don't have to burn somebody else's chometz. Your own chometz, so if somebody else's chometz is in my house, I don't have to burn it for a Pesach.
Well,
you
might still be over of Bali Roy, but...
Fine, but on Erev Pesach, somebody else's loaf of bread is in my garden, I'm not allowed to burn it. It's Geneva probably as well.
It depends if he was Mavatlit. If he was Mavatlit, then...
I can't Mavatlit somebody else's chometz.
No, if he was Mavatlit, then
he
could...
And if he wasn't...
Yeah, it's his chometz.
It's like an Auschwitz, all he got was a piece of bread.
Yeah. Correct.
Also depends on how you touch mitzvah huba vayda. Some rishonim which say that there is a mitzvah, but there's an avayda as well. And there's other rishonim which say that there's nothing at all, so it doesn't start. So if it's a non-starter, then there's no mitzvah, because you can't do the mitzvah of tashbisi if you twing it by any sort.
Only if it's a mitzvah bar bavera. It could be it's not a mitzvah bar bavera.
I'm saying, but how you touch mitzvah huba vayda, I did touch mitzvah huba vayda, then there is avayda, but there's also mitzvah. And you're doing the mitzvah by doing it through an avayra. Another way is to say, no, there's no mitzvah in the first place, because the avayra has...
Okay, So we're going on the first way. Yes, go ahead.
You could argue that by making a positive effort to eat all your chometz before Pesach, that's a way of tashbis.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If someone gets rid of the chometz before Pesach by eating it, before Pesach, absolutely, you're making a mitzvah tashbis, there's no question. Because what you're doing is, you're destroying your chometz. Absolutely. Our question is, why don't we do it on Pesach? Okay, let us get to the final question of today, based on what we said. Now, sorry? If someone has chometz on Pesach, someone has chometz in their possession on Pesach, and he did not do bia or bittel or create a contract or steal it, so obviously he's going to be over on Bali Roh and Bali Motzeh, because he went through Pesach and there's chometz in his house. He saw it, it was in his possession, Bali Roh, Bali Motzeh. The question I would like to raise now is he then Chayav Malkus? You've got two lavim, Bali Roh, Bali Motzeh, are you then Chayav Malkus? Sorry? Oh, very good. You would say Pashtus not, because it's a lav she'en by Maisa. You're doing a lav that doesn't involve an action, in which case you wouldn't be Chayav Malkus. That's what one would say. How about then if you went out and bought chometz and brought it into your house on Pesach? You do a maisa, you go to the shop, you buy the chometz, you bring it home. Are you then over Bali Motzeh? Absolutely. Yeah. Question is, are you then Chayav Malkus? So the Rambam makes it very clear. And he says, Kaloichol kzerais chometz Pesach. Chometz Pesach osa bahano. Somebody loyichol chometz, loyichol bahetachila. Okay, now einoy loike mishum loyirav loy motzeh. You don't get malchus because it's a lav, seemingly because it's a lav she'im by ma'aser. Elo imkein kono chometz bePesach Oy chimtzoy kadesh yaseboy maisa. Rambam says very clearly that if you were to do an action that would cause the chometz to be in your possession, you, at that point then you would get malchus. Avalim hoyle chometz koydim pesach. If you have chometz in your house before pesach, uba pesach v'loy biaroy eloniach bereshusoy. Like we said, afar pisha oval shnei lam. Obviously you're over these two lavim. Ein aloikim in atayra. Okay. So the Noisa Kalim ask that even if there's a Maisa with no Malkus, there should still be a reason not to get... Sorry, even if there's a Maisa, there's still a reason that you should not get Malkus with Bali Ror Bali Motze. And that is because it's a Lav Hanita Klas Se. A Lav Hanita Klas Se means you've got a Lav which is connected to an Ase to rectify it. The classic example of this is Lois Sigzo. There's a Lav to steal something, but if you did steal it, there's an assay of returning the lost article. So in that case, there's a lav anitak assay because the lav is connected to a rectifying assay. You wouldn't get malchus. Another option is noisa. You're not allowed to leave over your korban. V'hanoisa mimenu, and if you do leave over noisa, you have to burn it. So there's a lav anitak assay. You wouldn't get malchus. So we've just spent these past 20 minutes talking about the assay of tashbisu, which seems to be a lav anitak assay. You've got the lav of Bali Ror Bali Motze, and you've got the assay of tashbisu, right? What's the solution to the issue of Bali Ror Bali Motze? I've got a solution, says the Pasuk. Tashbisu, so I'm Rotechem. There's your assay. That's a solution. So it's a lav anitak assay. So why is the Rambam saying it's a Maisa? Nothing to do with a Maisa. It's a lav anitak assay, so you won't be Chayav Malkus anyway. Really hope we can do this in a lot of time. We're going to move fast now. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks a kasha on the tour, which hopefully will give us some insight over here. As we mentioned in the Kol Shas Machlokas, Rabbi Huda Chachamim, how to do biochomets. Rabbi Huda says only with Sreifa, the Chomets say it's Bechol Dova. The Torah says that once you've burnt it, then the ash left over from the Chomets is Mutta. It's Mutta Bahano. There's a rule in Shas that Afron is Mutta Bahano. If there's something that has to be burnt, then its ash is muta. But nikborin, something which has to be buried, then afron is osa. So, according to Rabbi Huda, the mitzvah of biachomets is with sereifa. But according to the chachamim, it's in whichever way you want. So, according to the chachamim, it doesn't have a status of nisrafim, right? It only has a status of nikborin. So therefore, there's no mitzvah to burn it specifically, so therefore it would have a status of nikborin, and therefore it would be mutar b'hano. So the Torah says, according to Rabbi Huda, because there's a mitzvah of sereifa, then it's mutar b'hano, the ashes. So Rabbi Kiva Eger asks, you have to understand why nisrofin, then the ash is muta, and why by nikborin the ash is asa? And that is because nastis mitzvasa. If you've completed the mitzvah, if the mitzvah has been accomplished, then all the dinim that were connected to it then are no longer in existence. So that's why it's muta bahanor. So the mitzvah by a korban is to burn the animal. So once you burn the animal, then the ash is then going to be muta because nastis mitzvasa. But by nikborin, with burying an animal, there's no mitzvah to bury the animal. Why are we in the kiborin? Just to get it away. We're nervous there's going to be a takola. Someone could eat it. Someone could have an hanah from it. So we just remove it from existence, i.e. we bury it. In which case, it's not nasis mitzvasa. We're just removing it from your eyesight. In which case, because it's not nasis mitzvasa, it'll be osav hanah. Because
well, the rotting in there.
Sorry?
It's going to rot there.
Correct. Correct, but it's not nasis mitzvasa. Nasis mitzvasa is only when you're supposed to burn it. Once you burnt it, it's all over. So the ash has no shaychus to the original item. You're right; it's going to rot away. But there's no
mitzvasa, but we say slowly.
I wouldn't classify that as nasis mitzvasa because you don't have to bury it and put it away. If you locked it in a cupboard or you did something else with it, meaning it's a mamela de kazakh. It's not. There's no action. The way to do nasis mitzvasa is to burn the animal. Let's finish up over here. So, okay, if that's the case, then why is the Torah saying only according to Rabbi Yehuda, then is the ash is going to be mutar? According to the Chumim as well, it's nasis mitzvasa. Right? It doesn't matter that there's a different way of burning it. But lamaisa, if we get to the crux of the issue, the problem with the ash is if nasis mitzvasa or not. So whether according to the Rebbe Yehuda, whether according to the Chomim, lamaisa is nasis mitzvasa. So therefore, the ash should be mutter according to both of them. Why does the Torah say only according to Rebbe Yehuda, when you burn it, is nasis mitzvasa, and therefore the ash is mutter? Should be a uniform issue. So the answer is, in very, very brief, due to our lack of time, is that Reb Chaim Soloveitchik brings a chiluk between the is this mitzvah of tashbisu, or the issa of chomets, is it on the bread, or is it on the person? Meaning, is this mitzvah of tashbisu, you have to destroy the bread, right? And therefore, the person won't have ownership of the chomets. Or is it, it's not to do with the bread, the person's obligated to get rid of the chomets. Is it an issa on gabra the cheftza? So, sorry?
But does the bread have to be burnt, or do you have to burn?
Correct, exactly. So, once you understand that, then you can understand the clear chiluk between Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to Rebbe Yehuda, the mitzvah is on the bread, because mitzvah l'sorof, you have to burn it. Right? It's nothing to do with the person. You have to actively burn the bread.
It's you.
No, it's the bread. It's not you. It's the bread. The bread has to be burnt. If you get someone else to burn it, that's also great. So the bread has to be burnt. Whereas according to the Chachamim, the mitzvah is on you. The bread doesn't have to be burnt. You have to make sure there's no bread. Right? In which case, nasis mitzvosa is only in play when we're talking about the chefza, not when we're talking about the gavra. Okay? Because nasis mitzvosa is on the object, not on the person. There's no nasis mitzvosa of the person. So, very much out of time. So, this would then answer the Lavanita Klase, essentially, because Lavanita Klase is only when we're talking about the chefza. Only when it's the actual chomutz, then it's Lavanita Klase. When it's on the gavra, it's not Lavanita Klase. There's more to say. Time is gone. Apologies.
How can you have an issachet of something that would be right data?
Sorry?
How can you have an issachet of something
that would be right data? Why not? Something good status. How did that put to yesterday?